Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me.
Is the beloved co-host, Mike Cousins.
And belated. He was late getting here this morning.
I was trying to work late into that. Just walked in the door. Mike Cosentino here.
Both his eyes are open, so good news, Gary.
And trying to read the computer and drive at the same time was a little bit beyond my skills today.
We're all sitting here with black hoods over our heads and about to talk about our favorite subject,
We don't have the cheeriest program today. We're talking about particularly the Senate report on torture that was released fairly recently. I think September. It's based on a 6,000-page, 5-year, $40 million study that they did of the CIA use of torture.
The summary alone was 500 pages.
525 pages, summary, to be exact. And it took 8 months after they decided to release it to get it released because the Obama administration wanted a whole bunch of stuff redacted. Redacted is crossing out stuff. They didn't even allow them to use pseudonyms for the people involved. The original report has 38,000 footnotes. I've read a section of the report. I haven't read all 525 pages. It's extremely well written. I don't know what you folks hear about it, but it's extremely well written.
Media, not much.
That's a good point, Mike, because they did a survey, and after the report is released, there are twice as many supporters of torture as there are supporters of the investigation.
I have to correct you. This is not torture. This is enhanced interrogation.
Enhanced interrogation.
Can we step back for a minute?
It's sort of like calling murder a solution for insomnia.
This show is supposed to step back, and that point is really, really, really important. That the report called it torture.
The report does call it torture, and
that they tortured in our name.
Yeah, and let me just say that it's an impressive work. It is extremely well written. It sounds very objective and straightforward.
They didn't call it rendition. They called it torture.
Well, beyond doing that, they tell you exactly what was done. And you can decide, for yourself whether it constitutes torture or not. But extremely well-written report. They looked at 6 million pages of documents. They wanted to interview the CIA personnel involved. I believe the Attorney General under Bush started an investigation and then Eric Holder continued it. So then the CIA said they wouldn't let their people or force their people to testify. So in a way, it's a strangely objective report because they don't have all the testimony, except they have copies of all the testimony that the CIA people gave to other people. In other words, they didn't interview anyone, but they have all the interviews that the CIA gave anybody. They have the CIA oral history of what the project was like.
I should say that the report began, or the impetus for the report was when the Senate Intelligence Committee found out that the CIA had destroyed, hundreds of 120 videos of the enhanced interrogation.
One of the guys, Rodriguez, who's writing, I think it's Jose Rodriguez, who's writing all the defenses of the CIA program. He ran it. He's the guy who destroyed all the videotapes of the interrogations. No one's been prosecuted on this. And I was reading a report, and it said basically nothing has changed since the Obama administration came in the sense that President Obama banned torture, banned the rendition, and so forth and so on. And said that nothing could be done that wasn't in the military code for how you handle prisoners. So he stopped the torture. He also forbade any prosecution, or he said he would not prosecute any of the people involved. And that's pretty much stood. So that's in 2009, he comes in, torture ends, but he won't let, he doesn't seem to want to understand what it was. He just wanted to stop it. And I think that we'd really, I think once he leaves office, we'll begin to understand him as a person a lot better. It's hard to see him in the rhetoric, but that's kind of who he is. My feeling is that they talk about no drama. Obama is not a style. He's just not interested in punishing people. He's interested in stopping bad stuff. Now, the downside of that is it's given the leeway to the supporters of torture to have the public forum, right, Gary?
The reason I think he didn't pursue it and didn't want Holder to pursue it is that he felt it would be too, ironically, he felt it would be too divisive to go back and prosecute Bush administration officials.
Well, I see it even, he caved as far as I'm, once again. In other words, people will call, if you criticize America, you're an America hater. We're going to sit here this morning and talk about really, really bad things that our country did in our name. Now, that doesn't make us American haters. That makes us America lovers, because we would like to see our country not torture people. And the second most important thing is they didn't get any actionable information. So they tortured people. They gave us a bad name all over the world. Everybody knew what was happening, most except the American public, because you didn't see it on CBS, NBC, and ABC every night. And it didn't give us anything, nothing.
What the legitimizing argument was supposed to be is actionable intelligence of further attacks. As far as the Senate can figure out, the Senate report can figure out, they got nothing like that. In other words, they got a tremendous amount of information from these enhanced sources.
And if this report couldn't figure it out, I'm going to say it's probably not there in spite of what the defenders say.
Right. And what the report says is kind of very logical. It says there's no evidence that they found out anything using enhanced interrogation that they couldn't have found out by other means. In fact, is most of the stuff that they found out was collaboration of stuff that they already knew.
The Bin Laden guy gave up the physician, whoever it was, with regular interrogation techniques. Now, don't get me wrong. They tortured him, according to the report, after he gave up the only good information he had.
Yeah, there's a fellow they grab. He was one of the first people they grab, and I think they waterboard him like 87 times. He gives them a tremendous amount of information. He's badly wounded in a shootout in Pakistan. And Pakistanis hand him over. The FBI, who are used to interrogating people and used to getting information, one of their agents sits with him the whole time he's in the hospital. He has a feeding tube down his mouth. The guy helps him get to the bathroom, builds rapport with him, and he starts talking. And he's the guy who gives up Khalid Mohammed, what's his last name?
KSM.
KSM. And he's the guy who gives him up. He gives him a tremendous amount of information. The FBI is happy with their interrogations. They're going well. They're getting all this information. There are dozens of reports coming from this guy. The CIA decides that he has secret information that he's not revealing. So they run the FBI off, they take over, and start using their enhanced interrogation methods, one of which was to leave him in isolation for 47 days while they're not talking to him and getting any more information. It's hard to believe this sort of stuff. And I think, if Gary, do you have a list of things? We'll tell you folks, the more you read in detail in the report, when you read the summaries that I think Gary has and I have, it doesn't really bring home the depth of some of the stupidity here. They torture a guy. He gives them up two people. They torture those guys, and then they find out they didn't have anything to do anything. The guy lied to them. And then they have to pay their families and them off because they've grabbed them and tortured them.
Wow.
So what the, it is. It's kind of absurd.
Stupidity on a grand scale. Of course, that's, you know, that's...
Yeah, they've decided stuff beforehand, and they're not listening, and they're not looking. And they've hired two contractors who are psychologists who trained the military to deal with being tortured. Now, and we were talking about before the program, you know, during the Korean War, we had guys turning around and saying pro-North Korean things. I believe even McCain issued a sort of ambiguously anti-war thing under torture and pressure. That's a different process. In other words, those guys don't want to know any information. They don't care what aircraft carriers somebody like one of the pilots came from. They can't do anything about it anyway. They don't have an Air Force. They don't really have a Navy. All they want to do is beat people up until they say what they want to say. And Gary has a great example of a Buddhist monk that the Chinese tortured for years and years and years. They don't want any secret information from him. They just want him to what?
Break him down.
Yeah.
He was a simple Buddhist monk who was captured by the Chinese. His name was, he's still alive, Paulden Gyatso. And he was held in captivity and tortured virtually every day for 35 years. And the only thing they wanted him to do was to free him was to renounce the Dalai Lama. And in 35 years of torture, his tongue split into three pieces, all of his teeth knocked out by an electrical shock, his shoulders separated and other horrific injuries. In 35 years, he refused to do it.
For example, something the CIA was doing was tying people or handcuffing people's hands above their head day after day. And in several cases, two of the guys had broken feet, and they made them stand on their broken feet. Another one guy had lost a leg, and they made him stand on one leg. Another one had a sprained ankle. Now, if you read the depth of what they did, they're thrown in dark room. One of the people that they captured died of hypothermia. They threw him in a cold, dark room. They're putting people in a prison.
He was held in a dark room, the cold room.
Chained up to the floor.
Chained to the floor.
Concrete floor.
And nude.
Yeah.
And they basically ignored him and found the next day that he had died of hypothermia.
One of the bribes that they had for one of the guys, they said, you know, if you'll talk, we'll give you a bucket that you can defecate in your room instead of having to defecate all over the floor and yourself. I mean, this is positive reinforcement. Talk to us and we'll give you a bucket.
Let's talk about some of the things they actually did.
Send the kids in the other room right now, okay? I think it's about to get ugly here.
I'll try to keep it relatively clean, but if you saw the photos of Abu Ghraib in Iraq and all the controversy
best recruiting tool for Al Qaeda and ISIS that we ever made,
where we had naked prisoners, men held with dog collars and leashes by young women. We had them in so-called stress positions, were difficult to maintain, and they were told that if they moved from the stress position, they would be killed. And I'd like to remind you before we get further into it, Abu Ghraib, we prosecuted two young people, soldiers, who were, involved in that torture, and they were just people acting under orders.
And the CIA didn't prosecute one person who went way beyond.
The CIA program was way worse.
Yes, and they didn't prosecute one guy who went even beyond the program, forcing a fellow to play Russian roulette. And what else did he do to the guy? I mean, it's just astonishing.
If you look at,
he took a drill to his head and pretended that he he was going to drill, take an electric drill to his head.
If we go over some of the techniques, waterboarding, which is again kind of a nice sounding euphemism, but it's basically controlled drowning. And they literally drown someone and then bring them back. And drown them until bubbles are coming out of their mouths. The sleep deprivation. So they hold them, for days and days and days with loud noises and stressful conditions.
For 180 hours without sleep. And then they start hallucinating and you get all kinds of very strange
things. That could kill you.
Sustained loud noises, which again doesn't sound that bad, but it's ear piercing kind of noise that drives people insane. Prolonged cold, we had one death from that. all sorts of humiliation, being held nude, the threat of sexual abuse, and according to the report, actual sexual abuse.
Walling, slamming people into walls, right, Gary?
Right.
And it's called abdominal slaps, but they're actually punching guys in the gut where it's not going to show.
We had some instances of rape, threats against the prisoners where they were convinced they were about to be killed, and threats of showing them pictures of their families and saying that they were going to kill the families if they didn't tell them what they wanted. And then my favorite is the rectal feeding.
There you go. The truth is that nobody cared. Americans didn't care. As long as you can prevent another 9/11, then we didn't care about torture. And
make no mistake, these were bad guys, but it still doesn't justify torture. We signed, according to the U.S. Constitution, torture is illegal, and according to multiple treaties we've signed, we have agreed not to torture.
Well, an agreement doesn't mean squat. If we're going to prevent another 9/11, Gary.
All of these things are defined as torture under the Geneva Convention.
America's word doesn't mean anything when it comes to our fear.
That's the problem, is our word doesn't mean
it
much
is the problem.
As a result of
absolutely.
This.
Well, the other thing
absolutely
is this weird bureaucratic infighting where the FBI doesn't really want to have anything to do with this because, it is really bad. Some of the interrogators quit. They refuse to do it.
One of the things
the military doesn't want to have any of these people. They won't even send a doctor to treat these guys. They don't want to be involved in it because it's against all their regulations.
Oh, and I should point out that one of the really wonderful things you find out from this report is that the two doctors, when you mention doctors, the two psychologists who had been in working for the military, for the Air Force, to help our pilots resist and survive torture, they were hired by the Bush administration to implement this program, and they were paid $81 million.
They had no experience in interrogation at all. They had no practical experience. They'd never dealt with prisoners. They had just trained people, as Gary is saying, to resist it. They had no knowledge of Al-Qaeda. They couldn't speak the language.
But that's not what they were asked. They were asked to help them torture, and that's
learned
what they
help,
and that's what
right.
they did
learned
for $81 million.
And they
will show you how to hurt people. And then that's what they did.
And they hired all of their friends. The contract allowed them. It was another one of the Bush administration's famous no bid contracts. And all they did was basically take Chinese torture techniques and teach them to the CIA. And then they hired all of their friends.
Real
to
quickly,
help them.
Throughout the report, one of the things that, according to the summaries I've read, is junior officers were unmanaged. In other words, as Steve started to say, nobody wanted a piece of it. Nobody wanted a.
Some people did.
I don't want to say nobody.
Didn't.
Many people didn't want a part of this. So what. The defenses, junior people were unsupervised throughout the period of enhanced interrogation throughout the period of America's torture period, which some people don't believe ended with Obama. We have these overseas sites.
No, they're gone. The program was collapsing of its own accord. The problem is you have a detention site in Thailand. The government changes. They become they don't want your detention.
Yeah.
So everywhere except for basically Afghanistan, and they figured out when they're talking about Afghanistan, it's called the salt pit. The countries were beginning to throw out the program. It was beginning to get exposed. The press was beginning to pick up on pieces of it. There's this funny, I say funny, but it's this. So President Bush in 2003 gives a speech about how humanely we're treating, our prisoners. This sends shock and fear through the CIA, and they wonder if the administration is still going to support them because they're busy torturing people. And so they ask reassurance from the higher ups that they can still go ahead and do all of this stuff because they hear all this stuff about we're treating people humanely, and they think, maybe we're going to take the fall for this. And so they go to the Bush administration that tells them basically to go ahead and continuing using enhanced interrogation.
Well, that's what they wanted to do. Definition of torture, and we remember some of that was played out in public.
Yes, and the argument was if you have operative intelligence that shows that an imminent attack is coming, and this is like in the movies so much, you have an imminent attack is coming, and you torture the guy, and you save thousands of lives from a nuclear attack.
Which never happened.
It never happened. According to the Senate report, it just never happened. So they tortured people, they got information, but they could have gotten the information other way.
It happened in the movies, though, so that makes it true. I want to straighten
that. Well, I think it was real important, don't you, Mike, that becomes a model. Like somebody does resisting, you torture him, and suddenly you get all the information, and then you save
the
good guys.
And you send him to Calvary or the Marines.
It doesn't work that way. I mean, and what they did was they got a lot of really strange information. There's believed one woman, according to Jane Mayer in The New Yorker, she's the person who didn't share the intelligence about 9/11 with the FBI. She's partially responsible maybe for knowing that two of the people who are going to blow up the World Trade Center are in the country, and she doesn't share the information. The CIA doesn't do anything about it. She's put in charge of this program. So she's trying to apparently prove herself, and according to Mayer and some of the people who worked for her, she was enthusiastically involved in torture. But see, they torture a guy. Okay, they're looking for operative intelligence. Come on, tell us. And they're torturing somebody. And so one of the guys gives this garbled account, and they decide that there are African-American Muslims. And these African-American Muslims are in Montana planning an attack. They spend millions of bucks looking for these African-American Muslims planning an attack in Montana. And it's just from somebody who's tortured and has to, and they said, well, are they doing it? And the guy says, oh, sure, they're doing it. You know, there's a thing. But, well, because, you know, that'll get him untortured.
Bad news for everybody in this room. If I get tortured, I'm giving you all up. In a heartbeat. And by torture, I mean coffee without cream.
Yeah, I understand.
Let's talk about the origin of this whole program.
I want to set the record straight on John McCain. He made an impassioned plea on the Senate floor to release the report, regardless of
about the only Republican to do
exactly.
Exactly.
So that's all. He's our senator, and as a former torture victim, I wanted to make it clear that at least he wanted us to know what was in this report.
He knows what you get out of torture.
He knows what you get out of
nothing.
Yeah.
The original report was I think 14-1 on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence to do the report. When they hear that somebody might be prosecuted, the Republicans opt out. So you're going to hear that there's a Republican response to the report and a CIA response to the report. These are responses. There's only one really report. There's this one huge report. And what people are objecting to is the conclusions of the report. because they don't like the conclusion.
Let's explain that.
There's not two huge reports. There's one report that says one thing, and there's the guys who don't want to hear that.
Let's put the objections into context. And I think to do that, you have to go back to how this program originated. Make no mistake, this was Dick Cheney's program. Dick Cheney, when he was vice president, spent more time in the CIA than he did in the vice presidential offices.
That's a real important point.
And he was meddling. You know, CIA people constantly complained of his meddling within the CIA and basically running.
You can't miss him on the scene on Daily Show. Have you read the report, Dick? He's on Fox News. He's damning the report. He's talking about how wrong it is, and then he says, "I haven't read the report."
He didn't need to.
Why would anybody?
Because he knew exactly what happened.
The report is extraordinarily convincing. I'll go to that. Let me just say before we'll let Gary go on here. Let's just say that on 9/11, I was 4.5 blocks north of the towers. I watched the first tower come down from 4.5 blocks. I had to jump in with a lot of other people in one of these. In New York, they have huge buildings that have sort of entranceways that are protected. We jumped in the entranceway. Debris was flying our direction. I left the area and watched the second building come down. They killed a friend of mine who left a wife and two kids. So it's not, we're not soft on terrorism here. We're not insensitive to the murders committed, for example, recently in France. But Gary's going to delineate how this whole thing started. Once this criminal act takes place, what's the proper response? What do we do as Americans?
The point, I think the most interesting point of the origination of this is that it was authorized by a small group of Bush administration officials, primarily Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Don Rumsfeld. It was excused in a legal document by John Yoo and then later Alberto Gonzalez,
attorneys. General.
Yeah. And the most interesting thing I found out of it was that it was approved by the National Security Council, but without a full meeting of the Security Council. And the reason for that is they wanted to keep the program secret from then Secretary of State and former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and former National Security Advisor, so somebody who is really highly ranked. They wanted to keep it secret from Colin Powell. So in order to do that, they met secretly without telling Powell that they were going to meet. And the reason they did that was because they knew that he would, quote, explode at the thought.
In fact, Powell had used some of the phony intelligence they had gathered in his speech before the UN, including the one that linked Saddam Hussein to al-Qaeda. It was all nonsense, but it was obtained under enhanced interrogation, and it made its way into Colin Powell's speech. So I think he'd be triply pissed off about this.
Well, and if you look at it, most of the military leaders were extremely opposed to any such program. And the reason being is that, they know that
payback is hell.
They know it doesn't work, and they know that it puts our own soldiers at great risk. If we are known to be torturing people, then our enemies have no compunction to do the same.
To not do the same, right.
Right.
And that's the scariest part of all of this. There are, Marge Piercy, other people at the time wrote songs and poems, that the government, this is like slavery, owning other people and forcing them to work. This is an ugly part of America's past, torturing people against all our agreements and in the horrendous ways is not America. This is, This is not who we are.
That's why they call it enhanced interrogation, not torture, right?
The CIA, no, this is what, you know, when we run into government haters, and even when they're in the government, this is why they hate the government. The CIA lies to George Bush for 4 years. You know, according to supposedly records, they start the program in 2003 and 2002, and they don't tell him until 2006. Once again, according to the report. So George Bush has this plausible deniability, which, of course, is so important in government.
They don't tell the CIA inspector general who's trying to – they don't reveal to him what's really going on. They don't reveal it
to
the State Department or the defense. They don't tell anybody on – or the two Senate committees they're supposed to be exercising over. They don't tell they don't honestly tell anybody what's going on.
And
even
what they do reveal
is
wrong and inaccurate. It's called a lie. It's really simple.
The most telling thing, I think, is that they destroyed all of the videotapes because they wouldn't want that to become public. And the report is actually there are hundreds, if not thousands, of photographs of the torture taking place. The committee would like to release those photos, but nobody, you know, in the CIA and the administration wants to see those photos come out because they've been called far worse than Abu Ghraib, and that they would become a huge recruiting tool against us, and it would so damage our reputation around the world. I mean, the report itself, releasing the report, has actually improved our reputation, you know, greatly, because people knew what was going on.
But apparently 30 minutes of time was spent on one of the, I think it's an NBC news program. There was this fear that it's going to, there'll be immediate retaliation because we released the report. But I'm afraid that most of the world thinks we do this anyway, so it's no big surprise to them. It's certainly not surprised.
They were
to
already
the
recruiting on the basis of what they knew was being done.
You see fury when they believe their religion is insulted, but the fact that we're torturing people is like, I think they assume we're going to do it. They're going to do it if they get our guys. So if for them, it's not a cause to action.
But releasing the report and releasing the pictures are two way different things. We all know that.
Well, what
right?
the press
right.
did was talk about when they were going to release the reports is build up this huge fear that there were all these attacks on the United States because of the report. And so they made that the story. And they made the other thing that they made a story is the controversy about the report. In other words, they portrayed this as a partisan battle because the Republicans opted out of participating in the study.
I want to mention that I don't know, maybe we already did, that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, beat waterboarding, according to the report, 183 times. He was waterboarded. So obviously this guy, as the mastermind of 9/11, had a special place in the prison for, as far as the CIA was concerned, as far as Americans are concerned. This is the guy that came up with the plan. And they waterboarded him 183 times, and that he beat it. The CIA, the conclusion of the report, just to get this, that he beat the system. He beat waterboarding. They said he hated it, but, yeah, he can handle it.
He'd already given up, you know, the any useful information. I think one thing to point out is if you want to really put this in perspective of why this is bad and why you shouldn't listen to Dick Cheney's apologies for it, or refusal to apologize, I should say, I grew up around a lot of true war heroes from World War II, and they despised torture. They had seen torture in Japan. They had seen torture in Germany. There is no way on earth that the people I knew would have approved of this or thought that this was anything that the United States, you know, would do, let alone should do.
Right. They'd be disgusted.
They would have been totally repelled by this.
Also by the lies, Gary.
Right.
The CIA told the committees that they tortured less than 100 people. Turns out they tortured at least 119. The information is so garbled and tons of it is missing that they're not sure how many people were tortured. They tortured 26 people who were innocent or who didn't fit the profile of the people they're supposed to torture. In other words, you support Islamic terrorism. They're not supposed to torture you if you haven't done anything, if you're just, you know, a loudmouth type of guy, or if you join some silly plot that never happened. So they're supposed to only torture people who had actionable intelligence about coming attacks. That was the justification for it. And that when they went to the lawyers in the Justice Department, that was their justification. And when the main lawyer in that found out what the Senate report said, he said then, well, what they did was illegal because they weren't doing what he thought they were doing.
There were a number of people. There was in particular, there was one Canadian citizen who was captured, had nothing to do with 9/11, had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, had done nothing. He was arrested or captured. Shouldn't even say arrested. There were no warrants. He was then spirited away, I believe, to Syria and tortured. And, you know, it was called the extraordinary rendition. And then came back and, or, you know, finally got out when they discovered he knew nothing and came back to Canada. And he went public with what had happened to him. And the CIA and the U.S., the administration would not even acknowledge what had been done to the poor guy.
The formal, what Gary's talking about is very important. The formal name of the committee is the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. The committee, the name of the report that we're talking about is the committee study of CIA's detention and interrogation program. So the secret detention of people. And the problem is after they've tortured these guys, what do they do with them? You know, do they release them and stuff? And one of the military guys involved and said, you know, we can't be involved in disappearing people. You know, that's what bad guys do. So there was a lot of dissent within the CIA about what was going on of the people that knew it, but it was very closely held. And so the really nasty details, the cold, being chained to the floor, being naked, being slapped around, slammed into walls, beaten, having your hands tied above your head, being waterboarded,
sexually assaulted,
and all the rest of it, humiliation. The details were kept. And so the more you read the report, the more you're going to read, I'm afraid, these disturbing details, because the summaries really don't quite do it justice. Right, Gary?
Yes. I mean, this is the sort of stuff. I mean, literally, these techniques were taken from the North Koreans and the Chinese communists the Korean War.
You still got a problem, and as far as I'm concerned, and that is getting people to care. The fear. I think America has a problem getting its humanity back. And, you know, when I can see somebody jumping him up in my face and saying, well, where's their humanity?
2-1 recent poll by the Washington Post show that I believe it's 2-1. 2-1. I'm looking through my papers here for the exact figure. 2-1. People support the use of torture, even when the majority thinks it is torture and not enhanced interrogation. The fact is, 2-1, people support it. There has not been a huge outcry.
So I think that's important. That's who we are. I mean, and let's not deny it. It's not some sort of anomaly. It's who we are. We are, this is America. We believe if we're threatened, we will behave in un-American ways.
And we no longer stand up to our word. We've signed numerous treaties.
Founding father principles.
Saying that we would not torture.
In the way.
And we've tortured. And if that isn't enough to convince you that we shouldn't do this, if you have a son or a relative or a daughter in the military, just imagine you know, what could happen to them if they are captured by one of our enemies.
Well, their risk has gone up 100 times.
Yes.
Or maybe 1,000 times because of our behavior the last 10 years.
The reason we're not intimidated by that is it's so asymmetrical. We're this huge, powerful country. When Al-Qaeda attacked New York, I had read quite a bit about the organization, and I knew they weren't going to attack right away because it's a small organization. It takes them a couple of years to wind up to another of these attacks. At least that was the historic pattern. So it's real asymmetrical. I think, Gary, they figure they can go and torture these guys and Al-Qaeda can't do anything about it, or they're not going to do anything that they wouldn't do anyway.
Well, and we have so few of our, I mean, so few people in the U.S. have relatives or people in the military that the military has really become separate from,
really has.
From the, you know, general American society.
Yeah, the difference between Vietnam and now is that the whole trap.
I'd like to,
it was brilliant.
I'd like to point out one statement I just read yesterday that, you know, this kind of ties into Guantanamo Bay, our Gitmo, our prison, and where we have a number of terrorists that we no one knows what to do with.
Right.
We can't release them. The GOP won't allow them to be, you know, brought to prisons in the U.S. and tried in U.S. courts. Most of them have never been charged with anything. But General Martin Dempsey, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I read a quote from him yesterday. He called for the closing of Gitmo. And referred to it as a psychological scar on the nation, that it absolutely is harming our reputation worldwide, and it needs to close. And I thought that was really, you know, kind of surprising coming from.
Well, there's this, you know, interplay, as we know, between the military and the political leaders, and I'm glad to hear that from a military leader. However, Gitmo won't close until it's politically advantageous.
All the chicken hawks in Congress.
Again, another thing I would make to add to these guys' points is that a lot of it was just. Seems incredibly incompetent. They didn't even really know who some of these guys were. They phrase it as prisoners that we have little information about. They confused people's Arabic names and arrested the wrong or grabbed the wrong guys. They believed all kind of preposterous stories that they were being given under torture. According to the Senate committee, the 8 primary arguments that the CIA had about the effectiveness of this to disrupt terrorist plots, none of them were based on their interrogation. So not only was it immoral, but it was ineffective.
They never read the Salem witch trials, that you'd have these guys all over the world ratting out anybody that they had an argument with, you know, that somebody that looked wrong at their wife. They, oh yeah, he's a terrorist, and boom, the CIA picked him up, threw him in Gitmo.
There's a case where a guy ratted out somebody from a competing tribe, that he was in an argument with. That guy's an Al-Qaeda guy.
Last couple of minutes, I do want to get, this seems appropriate at this time, I want to get two, I looked for a literary novel to use with my students on the war, and I came up with The Yellow Birds. A writer's name is Kevin Powers. He calls it a novel, but you might check that out. There's another one that just won, I believe, the National Book Award called Redeployment, written by a Marine. Both of these are written by, one was written by a gentleman in the U.S. Army. There was other ones written by a U.S. Marine. Redeployment and The Yellow Birds, you might want to, at least if you're on the literary side, these are great tellings of all sorts of things regarding the 13 years we've been over there.
You can download the report for free on the internet, or you can buy a hardcover copy for $16.50. It's easy to get access. I encourage everyone to actually read it, not just listen to the talk about it. Even if you only scan some chapters, I think it's important to to read it. Gary, we're going to sign off now.
I was just going to say, don't listen to what your tribe has to say about it, which party you belong to. Actually, read the report.
They're trying to say
because,
America's
because
gone tribal.
The report is actually very eye-opening. It's, as Steve said, it's well-written. It's well-documented. And, you know, we too often tend to listen to our tribes and nod our heads and become ditto heads. We need to start, you know, this country needs to start thinking for ourselves.
Yeah, to find truth. Oh, don't forget, you can hear this and everything else that we do on VVID.org. VVID.org. This is a Democratic perspective. We'll see you next week, but we'll be talking some more.
And listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.